Welcome to the Rock.
Hey, thanks for downloading another episode of the Black and Gold Podcast, brought to you by a Z-Box mattress, the world's greatest sleep products company. I'm your host, Alex Johnson. With me, as always, is the world's most famous App State fan, and we have some great news. What's going on, Big C?
I don't know. What is going on? You said you've got great news. I don't know what that is. What are you about to tell us?
Oh, well, I tell you what. Several of our listeners might know. Well, not several, but we've been teasing this amongst the inner BGP circles. But on November 9th, that's a date that you might have marked down your calendar, on a Thursday when we play the Georgia Southern Eagles. They might have heard of them. We are having our first ever live BGP event, where we're going to basically honor, celebrate, commemorate, all those fancy words, the 2007 football team. Big C, that is probably, and it'd probably make a very, very strong case about that being the most important season that we've ever had in terms of where it's taken us and where it's taken the program. And that's not all. It's going to include, the event itself is going to include Coach Moore, Steve Brown, David Jackson, and some other former players that we will confirm at a later date. But after those three, really, who else do you need?
Well, you need somebody else, because as much pull as those three have, I'm sure somebody will come up a little short on their putts.
Oh.
But we will have some others, just not confirmed, but we're certain to have three or four, five, maybe more.
Maybe 100.
Four players. Maybe 100. Yeah. No, probably not. We wouldn't have enough time to talk to them all. That would be terrible, actually.
It would be. It'd be painful.
I actually want to go to the game and tailgate for the game, Alex. Is that okay with you to do that?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's okay.
But people from the past, but not so distant past, but names you want to hear from and voices, and talk about things that happened a decade ago and what they're doing now, what they're doing then, and just – you know how we do here on the BGP.
Oh yeah.
There's no template. There's no format. It just kind of goes where it goes. We don't have questions ready for anybody except Scott Satterfield, which was a mistake. But other than that, it's a very organic situation. So whatever happens, I think it'll be fun. We'll have some food, right, AJ?
Definitely gonna have food. Food's gonna be there.
We're gonna have some beverages.
Beverages will be there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not just sweet tea and lemonade, right?
I mean, you can have an Arnold Palmer if you wanted, but you know, we'll have some big boys.
A little extra, yeah. There'll be something else. So we think that'll be fun. I think, you know, where this kind of all stemmed from was when we did that Michigan episode, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's at the table, everybody said, man, that sounded like that was a lot of fun. You know, we got a lot of feedback on that. So instead of keeping the fun to us, we're going to invite everyone who's already going to be here to watch the game that night to spend the whole day with us in Boone.
That's right.
And watch a much larger round table event. I think everybody will enjoy it.
Everybody will enjoy it.
Just a good way to pass the time.
Mm. Well, I tell you
around,
what.
Around lunchtime.
One of the things that I hear the most from people, and I'll be even more specific, from folks that I don't even really know except through the podcast, whether it's somebody that's been listening for a long time or whatever. One of the top comments that I receive about the pod is this: I listen because it's fun listening to other people have fun and talk about App State. So if you've ever listened to the show and laughed with us and laughed at stories and just really felt like, man, I'd like to be there and part of that and ask a question or just whatever, see people's expressions as they tell stories, especially from guys like Brown and DJ and Coach Moore, who ironically will be there as our guest, then this is it. This is the time. And Big C, we haven't even mentioned our sponsor. Everybody will know this. This event is going to be sponsored by Casa Rustica. They are, and Ricky Pedroni, they're huge, huge fans of App State Athletics. Talking about this event with Ricky several weeks ago and getting ready for it, shared some memories and some opinions over just really our passion for App State and how, you know, we definitely had that Michigan episode where we had a really great time in that round table setting. But, you know, from the beginning, we knew that, you know, the 10-year anniversary, this is our third season. We've got great relationships with different people. We obviously, you know, have gotten to know Coach Moore at this point. You know, we have the ability to do something to, I mean, you know, celebrate the 2007 season. And we thought, you know, why not us? Why not us? You know, why can't we put together an event where people can join us and eat and have fun and laugh with us? And I don't think anybody gets tired of hearing, you know, these great stories from these awesome glory days of App, whether it's the 2017 and or mentioning and acknowledging the periods of time that came before. But anyway, so Casa Rustica, big sponsor last year for the Black and Gold podcast. They are again sponsoring this event. Tickets are going to be $34.32. Sound familiar to anybody? $34.32? And this is a way also to just support the show. So if you listen to the show, you love hearing our guests and our stories and everything else, and you also just want to see us continue to do things like this and really just try to put out really great content. One of the things that we start off when we started the show, however many years ago at this point, 3 years, beginning in August 2015, which isn't 3 years, but we're in our third season, we said we just want our content to be really good. And so as we've progressed, you know, that's one of the things. Our content's gotten better, whether it's the quality of the show itself or the guests or whatever have you. Big C, every episode this year so far, we've had a special guest. You know, it's season one, forget about it. Season two, it was hit or miss. But we've had, what is this? This is our 13th episode in season three. Every single one, we've had a special guest on, and that's a big deal. So it's going to be November 9th, 11 to 1 at Boone Golf Club. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we're just gonna hear from Coach Moore, former players Steve Brown and DJ, about that season, what it meant. You're gonna hear stories you've never heard before. Big C, true or false? Every time we get around guys like that from the old guard, we end up hearing stories that we never heard before as fans.
Oh, completely. That's 100% accurate. You're gonna hear something you never heard before. That's always a good thing. I think the best thing about this event that we're planning is it's not just gonna be the audience watching us. You get to participate. Right. Your questions, your live questions, before the coaches, before DJ Brownie and whoever else has the time to make it up the mountain that day. And I think that's the best part is the interaction of the fans. That's what it's really all about, whether it's our fans, if we would call that, let's call it our audience, our listeners, but
the listeners,
just fans of App State in general. You know, that's that we want everyone else to be a part of it. Think of your best question. You've got, what is it? We got a month? We got a month? You got 35 days, maybe 5 weeks? Think of your best question regarding anything. Because, I mean, it doesn't have to be completely a surrounding of the 2017 or Michigan. Because, I mean, these guys who will be up there have seen it all. And so anything you can ask them is sure to be a good time. And, you know, once they get on that one question, that's the best part of most of our interviews, Alex, is you never know where they're going to go. You know, that tangent can just go on and on and on forever. But it's always good. It's never a bad road to go down.
Yeah, it's always fun. So we've spent obviously a large chunk of time talking about this, but we are very excited to have our first live event sponsored by Casa Rustica again, November 9th from 11 to 1 at Boone Golf Club. We're going to have a great time. And I will say this. Coach Moore is ecstatic about this, and I've called him like 18 different times to make sure he's going to be there.
He butt-dialed you once about it.
He did. Well, I don't know if he butt-dialed you about that, but I did get a phone call. And of course, you know, there are those people in life where if they call you, you answer. And it doesn't even have to be like, oh my gosh, I have to. It's just that when they call, it's for a reason. And so you're like, oh, I got to answer this. This isn't just for, you know, when I call people, they're like, oh, who knows what he wants, and whatever. But, you know, Coach Moore, I'm like, oh, well, Coach Moore, I'm going to answer it. And so I answer it, and then he's driving along in the car, and he can't hear what I'm saying. And, you know, his phone's probably in his dashboard or whatever. But, yeah, but that happened that one time, and I was just hoping and praying he wasn't going to say, well, hey, I'm going to be in Texas. I won't be there for your event. So, but no, he's going to be there. And this is something that once we had the Michigan show where Coach Moore's on for the first time, I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but he actually said, this is really funny. He said, you know, I didn't know what I was showing up for. I didn't know what you guys did. He said, it's awesome. He said, you guys, what you do is awesome. So he wanted to do something else. And when we suggested at dinner that night, like, hey, we want to put on an event where we basically, you know, we're talking about 2017, but we want to do things like this also in the future to acknowledge where we came from. You know, we want to do more of that, and we want to connect young. So from my perspective, I want more people that are maybe my age or younger that have just jumped on this App State train in the last 10 years, and they don't know just how rich the history is. We want to have events and in live events that are able to like kind of enlighten people to say, whoa, wait a second. We had a guy named Rico Mack who was apparently this crazy, you know, talented guy, this huge guy, played a little bit in the NFL, didn't have a long NFL career. But, I mean, we had super talented guys that could easily play on a team like what we have today. But you never hear about those guys. You never hear about those stories. And tonight our special guest is Dave Pastuzik, who was an offensive lineman in the 90s, and he has some awesome stories that really just highlights what we've said. Like, you know, App State has a very rich history. So we want everybody to show up. And again, you know, $34.32 for a ticket. If you, we're going to put this on Twitter and our Facebook page and our website. It won't be hard to find, but you can sign up online. And again, you know, if you're saying, ooh, it's steep or, oh, I don't want, just understand that we want to have a great event. We want to have a great venue. We want to provide good food and everything else. But we do want to, you know, make sure that we can continue, and we can only do that with money, is to continue to make great content. So if you like our content and you're going to be in Boone or want to be in Boone, please sign up and join us because it's going to be a blast. And what else is a blast is every night when I sleep on a Z-Box mattress, and of course they are our main sponsors of the show. You like that transition? Anyway, but Z-Box mattress is an outstanding company owned by App State grads, extremely passionate about App State athletics and the Black and Gold podcast. If you go to their website, zboxmattress.com, you'll see different styles of and sizes of pillows. You'll see any kind of mattress size, whether you like a more firm mattress or plush, king, California king, any size mattress, even custom mattresses you can have made with Z-Box mattress. I sleep on one. I get an outstanding night's sleep every single night. We are very, very honored to have the Z-Box mattress company in a world where there's a mattress online e-commerce company popping up everywhere. Trust me when I say that these guys are from furniture country. They know bedding. They care about quality above everything else. So you will not go wrong. Check out zboxmattress.com for the best sleep of your life. Big C, we have a football game this weekend.
It's amazing how it sneaks up on you, right? When you have a bye week. Yeah. I absolutely hate bye weeks because everybody forgets about it. You know, you go 2 weeks, especially coming off what we had to deal with last time we played, a tough loss that everybody wanted to forget. And then all of a sudden, hey, you know, we got, you know, 8 more games to play. So it's going to be interesting. I'm ready for it. It's homecoming. There's tickets still available somehow, but you know, and New Mexico State is not someone to just bat an eye to. We played a beat up team at their place at the end of the season last year, and they're different now. They're a lot different. They're going to a bowl. They just need to win the right games. The unfortunate part is they've already lost to Troy. And then, you know, they've got to play us as well. And they've got some other games in the conference that they might have to struggle with. But they definitely have that potential, and they can definitely outscore someone. So this is not your typical homecoming opponent, a.k.a. Troy at LSU, you typically see up here. So this will be a test for sure.
Yeah, and I do think that we had kind of this experience with Texas State, right? We heard whispers that they had actually a really good defense and that we were preparing for a lower scoring game through the grapevine, and that's what happened, although it's really, really hard to get excited. I mean, honestly, it's just really hard to get excited about Texas State when we beat them like a drum last year. But, hey, they proved us wrong. Same thing with New Mexico State. So it will be interesting. Please make it. I mean, and the weather in Boone is supposed to be unbelievable this Saturday. So make it up the mountain, and you will not regret it. And because of that, like you just said about bye weeks and people don't pay attention, well, the same is true for the mail satchel. We have a very sad mail satchel this week.
The satchel is down.
The bye week has strangled and killed the satchel. We still have some, but we do want to mention our sponsor for the hashtag BGP mail satchel, the one and only Stephen Mechanic. Of course, Stephen is a financial advisor, someone that can provide you with different financial products and advice and money management, I guess, best practices and just guidance to help you really create wealth and security for your family. I've worked with Stephen personally, and I just was really, really impressed with how prepared he was, how knowledgeable he was, and how much he cared about my unique needs and wants at this stage of my life. It's really, really awesome working with him, and he's a great guy to talk to. I mention this every show, but it's always great to know guys like Stephen that work four-year walk-ons at a program like App. I mean, four-year walk-on, you're paying money to attend a school and to go to all these workouts and get beat up and practice, and that just says something about somebody. And so he's a grinder for sure, smart guy. I call him the Don Draper of Charlotte, but only in Don Draper's good qualities. He's not a chain-smoking alcoholic womanizer. He's just a really handsome guy with great hair that works hard and is very successful. Maybe I shouldn't have made that comparison, but regardless.
I thought it was on a different podcast for a minute.
Yeah, but no, seriously, Steven is awesome. Great guy, smart. Really, if you want to do anything regarding knowing how to grow your wealth better, contact him at 336-706-1473 or email him at stephen.h.mechanic. That's M-A-C-H-A-N-I-C. That's how you spell mechanic. At nancymary.com. And he'd appreciate it. Whew. And again, I guess we got to say this again, but our special guest here in the last segment is Dave Pastuzik. So we've got the hashtag BGP Mail Satchel coming up. And later on, special guest, Dave Pastuzik. Stick around. And we're back. Hashtag BGP Mail Satchel time. Big C, as we mentioned a mere 30 seconds ago, Mail Satchel's looking a little thin this week. But you know what? We're going to do the best that we can to do our sponsor justice.
You know, we'll figure it out. I think we can stretch this a little bit, and it may not be as sad as you think it is. I think there's some potential here.
We're just kidding. We're just used to the Wake Forest satchel. The Wake Forest satchel was packed to the gills. So
And you know what though? That's what's funny is it's all about names. You know, Wake Forest, New Mexico State, which has the bigger draw just by name. I'll tell you right now, New Mexico State offense is better than Wake Forest. They'll put up more points. Their defense might not be as good, but if you put those two on the field, who knows what could happen? Mm. Being honest.
Well, if Big C says it, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, he is the world's most famous App State fan, but when he says things like that, my ears perk up. Even if he has weak moments on Twitter, my ears perk up when Big C says things like that. Anyway, let's start off with a lighthearted one. Chadwick White says something that I wish I would remember just, you know, an hour and a half ago when we talked to Dave. He says, next week, do we need to start the question with all guests? With the question with all guests, what do you order at Peppers? I bet Dave would have had a great answer to that, Dave Pastuzik, but we didn't. Big C, should that be a guest tradition from now on to ask, what do you order at Peppers?
I don't see that as being a bad option. I think the best part about that is we're going to find out how many people say, I just want to get the Gene Lawson until it's undefeated, and then until someone says, well, I like to get the Rainbow Trout special on Saturday nights or something like that. Who knows? I know their wings are good. You can get their happy hour wings. Not really happy hour, but it's like BOGO wings on Wednesday nights, or used to be. Those are really, really fantastic. So, but no, that needs to occur for certain.
Well,
now that Peppers has a little bar, I think that's definitely something we could look into.
We could look into as soon. Go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, if we're talking to anybody who's spent time here on the mountain, they've had a meal or two at Peppers, right?
It's true. That's absolutely true. I will say that we will do that as soon as their check clears. Gabe Jones says...
And we asked for one.
That's true. And the check's got to clear after we ask for one, too. Because, can't have those bouncing checks, man. Can't have those bouncing checks. Just kidding. Nobody that's ever worked with us has had a check bounce yet. And that's... we're knocking on wood for that one. Again, we're joking. Yeah. Gabe Jones asks, if you could pick an intro song for an app home game, like Virginia Tech's Enter Sandman, what would it be? And he makes a suggestion of Live and Let Die, and he doesn't use the like the original James Bond style. He uses he's suggesting the Paul McCartney from the 2005 Super Bowl version, and then he also suggests Cannon by Justice. And I don't know if he did that on purpose because it's two dorm names on App's campus, but I haven't put too much thought into it.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. But Big
C, I'm not really a big music guy. Now, I can listen to a song and sing a song, but I couldn't. There's a good possibility I don't know the artist or the title. So I'm a radio head as far as that's concerned. But I don't know if there's one that says, hey, this needs to be sung, unless it's like a mountainy folk tune. We haven't really dug into that. I know that when you're talking about the intro song, it's, you want to think high energy, heavy metal, or some type of rap, hip hop, something like that. I don't know. I don't know what identifies with the mountain, but I think it would be interesting if the opposing team's on the sideline and you're expecting some typical, rock jam to come on, and something hits like a banjo string and a bass and something like that. I don't know. It's probably a little bit much, but that could be interesting. Grab their attention and make them say, "What is this?" And just to get in their heads, And I don't know if it would get our fans excited, but I think that would be different.
So I think the most underrated intro, because everybody points to Virginia Tech, Enter Sandman, and that's fine. But I think the most underrated entrance song is East Carolina and Purple Haze, Jimi Hendrix. I think that is so cool. I think that, because it's so relevant to the program. They got the purple, literally they have Purple Haze pouring out of the tunnel. It's so cool. And that's a great song. But
that's good. South Carolina does a good one.
What are they?
When they bring out I don't know what the song is, but they bring out a chicken and they do a good thing.
They do a good thing with the chicken.
There's a chicken in a jail cell or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna make a suggestion. I'm gonna make a suggestion, but I'm not sold on it. It would depend on a lot of things. It's not the typical fast paced rock and roll. Like obviously, Enter Sandman is. Enter Sandman is really like pop metal, but it's still like it's a hard-hitting, fast-paced. Purple Haze is less that, but it's still like it's kind of a driving song. It's got a great rhythm. I think it would be really cool to shake it up a little bit because we are the Mountaineers. We are different. We operate. We live life at a different pace than anybody else because we can and we're unique. I'm going to throw this out there, and I would love to hear from people out there that are listening what they think about this. And just chew on it a little bit, because it's not that punch in the mouth, let's go, but it's this swagger, just kind of awesome, I don't know, really cool thing. And it references the mountains in their lyrics. When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin. The beginning drums and just the heavy hitting. There's a harmonica. There's a really heavy guitar, and it's awesome. It punches you in the mouth. It's a little slow driving beat, but I think that would be interesting. And like I said, you've
done your homework here. I kind of like that. I think that has potential.
Yeah, I personally would like to see it tried. I'm not saying that it would work. A lot of guys like coming out like running whatever. But I like I remember when we went to I'd never been to ECU before 2012. So when we were at ECU and I about died from dehydration, before the game came out and they had the purple haze come out, and the guys were whatever the go Google purple haze and you'll know what I'm talking about, people, if you don't know the song. But it's not that there's not this fast start that like Enter Sandman would be. There's not this build. It's just kind of this cool groovy kind of whatever rhythm, and the players don't come running out. They kind of come out like with swagger, kind of jogging out. You know what I'm saying? They're not letting. It's not pure adrenaline. It's a combination of adrenaline, but swagger and confidence, and going with this awesome song. So, Gabe, if you will accept that submission, I think When the Levee Breaks would be a really cool thing to try as a different style of entrance song. So, and I did do my homework. I just think it'd be cool. Ooh, okay. KJH App asks, should I be concerned about New Mexico State after their showing against Arkansas? Big C, I think you just said their offense is better than Wake Forest and they're not to be trifled with.
I'm just curious with KJ how he viewed that Arkansas game, if he actually watched it from beginning to end, if he just caught a score. Got a little lopsided late. New Mexico State did some things in between, but Arkansas kind of jumped on them early. There's an early turnover, and then Arkansas came out and started throwing the ball. And Doug Martin, New Mexico State's coach, came out and said, "We didn't expect Arkansas to throw the ball," which makes sense because they're typically a running team by Brett Bielema. That he came from Wisconsin, and that's power eye, do the whole old school football thing. But they're trying to get right. And, what amazed me about all that is that would they have done things differently? What would their corners have done differently? Would their safeties have done differently had they known that Arkansas was going to throw? If they couldn't defend it and Arkansas was successful, is that a scheme thing or is that an athlete thing? I'm leaning more toward an athlete thing, is that they didn't have what it took to defend it. So were they going to just drop more, drop in the zone coverage? I'm missing how they would have prepared differently and kept that game closer. They obviously have some pieces. They have Larry Rose. They got a couple of receivers who can get the job done, a slot guy, a big target guy, and they can do that. The question for me is have they seen a defense like ours? I don't think that Arkansas looked like a team that was really interested in playing defense. To be honest, I don't think they had a hard hitting or no holds bar. They kind of bent a little bit and let them do what they wanted to, kind of choke down when it got close. And I just don't see it. I really believe that they probably haven't seen a team like us. They're probably going to have some issues with the travel. We're coming off a bye and be, we're about as healthy as we can be, and we rested, and they're making two consecutive road trips in a row east. That's certainly got to play into our favor. They may hang around late, but I'm not seeing this offensive shootout. I just don't see that matriculating on Saturday.
Matriculating is a fancy word, and very good. I like their analysis, Big C. Jay Neal asks, what is on the tailgate menu for New Mexico State? Probably bean dip, maybe?
No. it's homecoming. We're not getting all Southwestern and doing all that. That's too easy. Anybody. Yeah, it's homecoming. We do turkeys.
There you go.
Doing that for, I'm scared to even say how long we've been doing that.
Okay, homecoming turkeys.
12 years. Yeah, 10 or 12
years. Give me some side dishes. What are some side dishes?
Oh, you're gonna get some stuffing. Definitely gonna get some stuffing.
Do you put pecans? Do you put pecans in the stuffing?
I don't make that stuff. I make the meat. I don't make
the
sides.
Who makes the stuffing?
That's for the women.
It's for the women. All right. Okay.
That's fine. Make the meats.
But do they put pecan? You're not answering the overarching question. Do they put pecans in the stuffing?
I don't know. I just eat the meat. I don't eat the side dishes.
You don't eat the stuffing? Oh my gosh! And
I mean, I like stuffing. I don't have time for that. I taste the turkey. I'm cutting it.
You're out there from 5 a.m. You don't have time to eat the stuffing?
Oh my God. I don't want to eat the stuffing. I just want to eat the meat.
Okay. Well, we know that you want to eat meat.
Putting enough calories out there already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got you.
12 ounce reducing curls.
It's very encouraging though that you said stuffing and not dressing. People that call it dressing, it's a little aggravating.
It depends what it is and where it goes.
No, stop. Don't sit on the fence. All right. Steve Gwaltney, who is waiting with bated breath for the Dodgers to play their, I think, on Thursday or Friday, he says, New Mexico State can score, and then asks how many points wins the game on Saturday. Ooh, we're getting a little ahead. You know, you're writing your prediction preview tomorrow, but let's hear it. How many points wins the game, do you think? And let's just go ahead and say, to make you feel better, Big C, because you are crazy, let's just say that it's not binding, but come on, give us something. How many points?
I have a hard time seeing them score 24 on us. So more than 24. So 27 or 30, 28, somewhere like that. We might score more.
Okay.
If we decide to stick with this this kind of Appalachian air raid offense, if you want to call it that, if we're not ready to run the ball and they're prepared to stop us, and you know that's going to be the interesting thing. Like we just talked about a second ago, New Mexico State said we weren't prepared for them to throw. Well, everybody knows what we've done in the past, but is that the future? Is that the present? Are we going to try to force the run? And Arkansas did a really good job of possessing the ball, even by passing. So I think there's opportunities there. I think we have guys who can get open. Obviously, Thomas Hennigan has done great. Malik Williams, Ike Lewis, when they don't bounce off his face mask and catch the ball pretty good. The opportunities exist. We have some weapons at tight end. I just don't think they have the defensive pieces. They've gotten better. They have gotten better on both sides of the ball. And it may be closer than it was last year. I'm totally with that. But I just don't see them coming all the way back and upsetting us. Now, if they're going to win the game, they're going to have to put up 35, in my opinion. But if we play like we want to, you know, high 20s, 30, 31, something like that.
I like it. I like it a lot. I will say this, in watching the – really since – you know, that magical turning point in 2014, when teams play us that have not faced as physical a defense as what we have had, I think they struggle early on. So, and I didn't do any research on, I mean, that's why I have you on the show. That's what you do. But if New Mexico State has not faced a defensive team, like a team that, like, hey, we got a really good defense, I think they tend to struggle a little bit, especially early on when you got guys squaring up, tackling well, hitting hard. Obviously, Dave Pastuzik, nobody hits hard enough. But I will say that I've seen us with, and you have too, Big C, and we've talked about it, a lot of teams in the last 2.5 years, seasons rather, that have just gotten tired of playing us because we hit and we hit and we're physical and we get after them. So if I think that plays in our favor for sure. No matter how high-powered their offense is or whatever, human nature is you don't like to get hit. So if they haven't gotten hit in the way that we hit, plays in our favor. If they have, then it is what it is. But I like your point prediction there.
I'm very curious how we're going to defend those receivers, if we're going to play man, if we're going to play zone, if we're going to slide a safety to the 6'6 guy. Because it's funny that he doesn't play long. He plays like across the middle. and outs, and their quarterback certainly has the arm to get it to these guys. So that'll be the interesting part is who do they use outside of these two receivers? Larry Rose, their running back that's constantly talked about, I guess because he had production when he was a lot younger. And he's got miles on him now, and he's been injured since, and he hasn't had the production, just kind of like our guys are, because they're on keys on them. So
yeah.
I think you can kind of draw some real similarities between our two offenses is that we haven't been able to run like we wanted to this year, and same as New Mexico State. And I also think that both teams have actually been more productive passing. If this gets into a 40-something game, who knows what's going to happen? But I just think our defense is better than that. I really believe it. We're not dealing with a mobile quarterback either. We're talking about a 6'4", 6'5", statue back there. Not that he can't move, but he's not going to run the option. There's no design runs for this dude.
He's
taking the snap and he's looking to throw at somebody. Let's bring the pressure. I think we've been very patient with that this year, and I think we always do that to wait to get a conference play and find somebody like this guy who we can go after and get in the backfield a lot.
The typical quarterback give us fits are the ones that can take a broken play, pick up first downs like crazy. We've seen that. We pull our hair out, so that's a good sign for sure that New Mexico State doesn't have that prototype as their starter. Danny Stapp, a.k.a. Dewey Decimal, has written us again and asks, he is not letting the evil David Jackson keep him down. He asks...
Did he actually write that?
No, he didn't. It'd be funny if he did.
But that would have been a lot better if he did, though.
I know, it'd be funny. Danny, say something mean like that next time. He asks... say what?
Say nut up.
Yeah, nut up, Danny. Danny says, are you happy for Troy and the positive attention they've brought to the conference with their upset of LSU, or do you feel jealous that they've accomplished something that we haven't in 10 years? Big C, I have a very, very specific answer to this, but what say you?
No, you go ahead, because I think I'm going to – I haven't thought about this. I haven't seen this question prior to it, but I definitely had some interesting thoughts while I was watching that unfold. Go ahead.
Fine. I will take the last 10 years that we've had over the 10 best years Troy's ever had, period. So I'm not jealous in the least that they beat an overrated LSU program that fired one of the best coaches in the country and now has a I just don't care. I do care in that I'm really glad a Sun Belt school did something good. Because the Sun Belt is not, obviously the greatest conference in the world. So I was happy to see that Troy beat LSU. Over the last 10 years, blah, blah, blah. Believe me, I'll take our last 10 years over anybody's just because I've followed it closely. I experienced it. We've done some awesome things. We've grown. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, I'll take the second half of 2014 and what that felt like to finally be just moving like gangbusters after just a miserable past season and a half. Man, I'll take that all day over the best 10 years Troy's ever had. So good for Troy. Glad they won. Makes the conference look better. I'd love to play them. Wish we were playing them. And, yeah, that's how I feel about it. I'm not jealous at all.
So the best 10 years Troy ever had was when they won, I don't remember what it was, 5, 6, 7 conference championships in a row in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was prior to us being here. So, and they, I think they beat somebody at home, like a Southern Miss. Was that somebody that they beat at home? I don't know. Maybe it was Nebraska. I don't know. I can't remember. I remember that being a big deal on a Thursday night or something. So watching that game unfold and at that point in the night on Saturday, here I am, wife's out of town. I'm watching the kids. So, she's out and I've got three devices rolling, three games on. I'm watching Monroe Coastal over here, watching little Clemson over there, and then watching Troy LSU. There were so many times while watching Troy LSU that I wanted LSU to make a comeback to see if Troy could stave them off. Or was it really all about how terrible LSU actually was? And it changed quarterbacks, and Troy just was able to run on them. But, LSU came back. They had an opportunity. It didn't work out. I'm happy for Troy. I'm happy for the Sun Belt. But I can't say that I'm not jealous.
Yeah.
Considering what we had just been through the week before, because it could have been so much more. I'm not going to say I'm jealous of Troy. I'm jealous that it wasn't us.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So LSU, you know, I can't remember what their record was, but they're ranked 25th just by name. That's all they were. You know, we were talking about comparing New Mexico State to Wake Forest and do the same. Throw LSU in there. I mean, who comes out of that like a round robin between those three schools? Who actually knows? But I will say that for certain, I had some kind of like kick in the dirt moments where I was like, man, we've had our times. We've had our Tennessee. We've had our Wake Forest. We had our time to get on the map. I don't know if it compares to Troy beating LSU, and that's all fun and games. But, you know, one of the Sun Belt follows on Twitter that I have mentioned the 7 Sun Belt wins over P5 opponents that have occurred. Neither of those teams won the conference championship. So keep that in mind. ULM's beaten Wake a couple times. I think Western Kentucky was involved. Middle Tennessee State when they were in the Sun Belt. Obviously, we're dealing with some different teams and some that have left, but something to keep an eye on. What toll does this take on Troy? You know, we obviously had our own toll that we had to deal with back in 07 when we beat Michigan. You know, how far does this go?
Yeah.
Their next game is not this week, but next week against their rival, South Alabama, who they came back to beat last year on the road when they were down. So South Alabama is going to want some more, and South Alabama is their rival. And now they're going to have 10 days off to celebrate, 10 or 11. I'm not sure if they play on Wednesday or Thursday, but to celebrate. And then they've got to refocus and get back to business. And a better thing for Troy would have been if they had actually to play on Saturday. They would have gotten more their turnaround a bit quicker. But now there's this relaxation period. And at what point do they get over LSU and get back to business while South Alabama's just waiting to beat them because they're hungry.
I would
not be surprised one bit if South Alabama beat Troy next week.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's not a unique to Troy or App State. That's just kind of like you have your highs, have your lows. You get too high, pie in the sky about. Now, I think, you know, our losses had a lot to do with the injuries and stuff like that, but there's no question that plays a factor. I will say that, of course, yeah, I wish it was us, but I guess I just think that I'd just rather be App than Troy, and I don't think LSU's good, and I would take it. Like, I'm not saying at all that, oh, I don't care. Yeah, I wanted to beat Wake. Everybody wanted to beat Wake. I would love to be in the news for beating an SEC school that was ranked, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying I didn't lose an ounce of sleep over it, and I'm glad they did because it makes our conference look better. That's really all I'm saying. Okay.
No, I'm with you. I didn't lose any sleep either, but I definitely wasn't 100% happy for them on Saturday night.
I feel you. And I understand that as well. Okay, folks, so here in just a second, we're going to go directly to our special guest, which is Dave Pastuzik, who is, of course, he's a player in the mid-90s on the offensive line with some amazing stories courtesy of really the one and only Steve Brown hooking it up once again. And by the way, Steve Brown's going to be at the first ever live BGP event when we talk about and celebrate the 2007 team. It's been 10 years. Coach Moore, David Jackson, and what's his name? Oh, Steve Brown. We'll all be there, and it's going to be awesome. Check our Facebook, check Twitter, check our website, you know, for that information, just because it's got to be there. It's not going to take you very long to figure it out. But if you just sit tight one moment when we come back, Dave Pastuzik. And And thanks for sticking around our special guest segment of the Black and Gold podcast. And once again, we dive deep into the Steve Brown Rolodex of old school App State contacts. And Steve Brown is again with us tonight. And Steve, give us a little, in your own words, as Shakespearean as they will be, I'm sure, describe who our special guest is this week.
We got Dave Pastuzik, who played the mid-90s. And guys, you know, Big C and Alex always talk about some of the best offensive lines that we had, I think, back in the mid-80s. I was fortunate enough to coach there in the mid-90s when Dave played, was a part of that group. So it'd be interesting to hear some good stories from back in the day from David.
And Dave joins us. What's going on, dude?
Nothing, man. Just chilling, talking to you guys and watching a little postseason baseball and getting ready for the weekend. We're going to have good weather up here, man. Hopefully big crowd at the game Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you need to – I don't know how much you paid Steve Brown for that really, really tame introduction, but that was very quaint. It was very G-rated and appreciative.
Yeah, again, when you're dealing with a sales guy, you expect a lot of different things, you know. And sometimes, you know, you got to kind of go in there a little softly like that, you know. You don't want to pump people up, get them too excited right off the bat,
that's
you know
right.
what I mean?
No, that's absolutely right. No, you have it nailed. And of course, Steve is the consummate.
I'll tell you what the thing about Steve is and this is kind of one of the things we always talk about, is it's amazing that, you know, as old as he is, and all jokes aside, he's much older than I am. But it's funny how from that generation of players to the current guys now, there's a bridge there. I mean, and it's funny about App State football. When we tailgate Saturday, we have guys from, I mean, I was out there with Scott Suttle last week, and I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a continual thing, and it's so family-like, it's unbelievable. And it's like, you know, you pick up where you left off. Hmm. And you know, a lot of these guys, Ori Fry was out there, you know, a lot of these O-linemen and stuff that we're all kind of still tight with. And it's just really, it's a neat, I don't know if it's a unique thing because, you know, of course, never played anywhere else, but I like to think it is. It's pretty cool because we span a lot of stories and stuff across the generations of App State football. It's really neat.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting you use the word bridge. That's my nickname to Steve. I don't know if anybody else calls him that, but if I ever have a question about, hey, do you know anybody that does this, or can you get this guy on the show? I mean, it doesn't even have to be podcast related. Steve builds the bridge. he's connected to somebody, and so
you think about how many people he's crossed paths with through the years, you know, in his job or jobs per se, and coaching, and then. You know, and getting into sales and doing things. I mean, it's incredible. I think about the network of people I know from being in business in this town after you know, graduating and stuff, coming back here to live, and gosh, it's incredible. You know, people always say, "Hey, man, won't you run for mayor or something?" No, I'm not into politics, but I tell you what, I love people. And I love to be around them, and I love to talk to them. It's really cool, you know, connections you make.
Well, let's take a knee and think about that for a little bit. I think the shocking thing is not how many people Steve Brown knows; it's that the amount of people that are still willing to talk to him. I mean, that's really the number
There you go.
That's the thing.
Yeah, true. But how many sets of tracks and wheels have fell off his stuff? You know,
Oh my gosh! Well, listen, I don't need to be biting the hand that feeds us. He's booked everything this year.
Yeah, putting the old sawdust in transmission deal. You know,
God, that's brutal.
It sounds like you speak from experience.
Well, I know. I don't buy yellow equipment. You know what I mean? This isn't a beat it up Steve hour, but it's turning into one, ain't it?
It's just all right.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I thank the world every man.
Well, that's somebody. Anyway, so Dave, let's talk about something that I wish we could, you know, creatively like insert the story you just told about seeing Coach Moore and him telling the story about you being recruited and everything, but I'm going to have to ask you to talk about that again, basically. And you can put it in the context of this, because we have guys come on from different eras, and you actually just nailed it. So, like, we talked to these different guys, guys from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even as recently as the undrafted guys from last year, including Parker. So we'd love to know, like, how, like, what was your background in high school that you even showed interest or whatever it is in App? But there's a story in there that you told about Coach Moore, and of course we're gonna have Coach Moore on next week too. But
I'll tell you what, he's one of the most interesting people you'll ever come across in your life. I mean, I had an opportunity to meet him. I was in high school. I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and played ball down there, and was very highly recruited offensive lineman, and had misfortunes of I had a really bad back injury my senior year, and I missed about 6 ball games, and it's kind of one of those things. I went from being in I've talked to Steve about this before. I went in from being in Ray Goff's office to Bobby Bowden's office and Ken Hatfield at Clemson and stuff, and all these places, and had been offered at these places to come play. And then I had an L4, L5 herniated disc. And like I said, I missed 6 ball games my senior year. And it's funny how you go from sitting in those offices to them not ever calling you again. You know what I mean? So it's a very humbling experience. But I'll tell you, one of the guys that always, you know, when you realize that you're probably not going big time, I had one Division I offer, and it was Memphis State at the time. You know, Memphis wasn't my cup of tea to live and go to school there. But took a visit out there, and my other visits at Marshall and App State and things, I took those visits. But one guy that was always continual with me and would come down and see me on a Friday night sometimes, if, you know, like on an off week or something, even though I wasn't playing that one time, was Coach Moore. And I tell you what, that's what he grew on me, you know. And, you know, Marshall had this big flashy new stadium up there that they just built, and, you know, they flashed your name on the scoreboard when I went up there on a visit, and two of my teammates, actually Tim Martin and Jermaine Swafford, both went to school up there. They decided they were going, and they thought I was going to be the third spoke in the wheel to go. And you know, with the relationship I had with Coach Moore, I committed to him and stayed committed. And you know, at the time, Appalachian facilities, I mean, some of you guys, they weren't like they are now. I remember walking up to that place and it kind of looking like a concentration camp. I mean, it had barbed wire and I mean, it looked rough. But that, again, Coach Moore is what brings you in there, and his quirkiness and all the stuff that, you know, we joke and talk about. But that was the main thing that got me on this campus, man. And I thank the Lord every day that I never went to Huntington, West Virginia.
That's awesome.
You know, the place to live up there, and of course, who wants to be a blundering turd? I mean, you know. but Coach, you know, it's funny. You know, I like we were talking about earlier. I ran into him, and we talked from time to time. You know, we always had a pretty good relationship. And you think about a guy that's coached that many people through the years, man. And I mean, gosh, you think about the people that come in and out of the doors everywhere he's been. But for him to still have the relationship that we did, and there were some times when I was playing for him, you know, I was a little kind of like we're talking about Parker stuff. I was a little bit of an aggressive type player. There was times I think he had enough of me, but he always came back, put his arm around you, and he'd always pull you back in. But you know, that story we were talking about, which was it is comical to me. About, you know, hey sucker, I every time I see him, I swear, every time I see him, I'll never forget coming down there and seeing your folks and you down there sitting on your couch, and, you know, your mama bringing coffee and all that stuff, and we sat there and we talked and had the greatest time. And again, I don't have the heart to ever tell him that he never came to my house. We sat on the couch. But for some reason, he believes that he did. But it's one of those things that we met at the school. I had a basketball game that night. And we met at the school and had, you know, had a great time at the school up there in one of the rooms above the gym and stuff. But he, for some reason, he believes that he sat in my living room there. But hey, I let him think what he thinks. You know what I mean? He's a good guy, man.
Well, maybe
but you gotta go back and look at how many couches he's probably sat in.
Oh yeah,
or sat on. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You gotta get mixed up a little bit somewhere.
Yeah, well, maybe he just saw a picture of your living room and just, you know, loved it so much that, you know.
I don't know, Lord, who knows? But you know, I used to talk to him during practice, man. I'd go up to him, and he used to carry this little pad around, and he'd go around, and he'd always constantly be writing stuff down on it. You know, he was a true head coach in the sense that, you know, he didn't coach a position, he didn't focus on anything offensively. He let his coaches coach, and he just kind of managed. He would go around and he'd always be kind of writing something down, and I'd always go up to him, put my arm around him, and I'd ask him, I said, what are you drawing today? You know, because every now and then he'd have a couple little doodles on something, because he'd get an idea, because, you know, he's a very artistic guy. That's where the block letter A came from.
Yeah,
was cut forward. You know, he came up with that, and he would get something in his mind when during practice. He'd be brainstorming on something, and he'd sketch up something or whatever, and it'd be pretty cool. The kind, and he's very artistic, but cool things he'd come up with and stuff. And it was kind of different to me, because, you know, here's a coach that's, you know, supposed to be looking at his players and watching his players and following practice things. But, you know, I guess there's when you've been doing it that long, there's other things going on in your mind too, you know.
Yeah, and so, hey, refresh everybody's memory, or even those younger fans that don't know, what were the years that you were at App? What seasons?
I was 92-96.
So you, okay.
And I was fortunate enough to play on the 95 undefeated team.
So, that, you know, we've actually heard some great stories from Ruff and McNeil. Of course, Steve's got some great stories too. But Brian Estridge and Ruff and McNeil talked about playing there in the 90s and some of those, you know, really all-time classic games. And the thing that, you know, personally, I'm you talk about Steve being a lot older than you, he's a way older than me, is that I don't know a lot about that stuff in the 90s. And what's unfortunate, and I hope it changes one day, is that we'll have more footage from different periods of time that people will be able to access, you know, because we're so used to seeing these things. I mean, I think App State's their video crew, I mean, it has really been awesome. And you know, we produce all this stuff. You can go back and see highlights and hype videos from all these different players we've had in the last, you know, probably 7 to 10 years.
Yeah,
but before that, we had, you know, these great teams that, you know, unfortunately, the way we consume information and everything else, it's hard to know, you know, just how good those teams were at those moments, because they're not captured in a way that's easily accessible. So talk about how, and Bixie hates it when I say talk about, so I try to say it as often as I can, but talk about what it was like for you getting to App State in your early on, and yeah, I don't know, just kind of building up to that mid-90s powerhouse.
Well, I think, you know, I had this conversation with a couple of guys out there that I played with at the last tailgate, the weight game. And the thing I remember is, you know, I was a big, strong kid coming in, you know, and had a lot of success in high school. And I came in and, you know, thought, man, hey, I got this, you know, I got this thing where I want it. You know, I'm going, I'm going to be a smaller, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, you know. And I'll tell you what I walked into, and it used to be that, and Steve will tell you a lot about this, they used to, back in the 80s and early 90s, they used to hit the junior college ranks pretty good here at App. And when I walked in the door there, you know, my first day, we were in we had freshman camp back then. Okay, you went a full week of just the freshmen. And then the upperclassmen came in that next following week. So when you walk in the doors there, man, you, hey, I'm the man, you know, hey, I'm coming in here to do this because you're out there with a bunch of freshmen. But I'm going to tell you what, when those older statesmen come in for camp, there were men walking through the doors there.
Yeah.
And everybody knows Avery Hall.
Yeah.
Him in particular. I mean, that guy, he was something else. But you take a lot of the guys that were there back in the day when I came in, Brent Davids and Vince Fraley's, and I mean, there's a lot of guys. They were men, man, walking in the door. They weren't like high school kids. These guys were big, strong, mean, ugly, you know what I mean? And it was just like, boy, that really brings it in perspective of what you're walking into. And I'll never forget my first couple of practices there. I'll tell you what, it brings you down a level. I mean, it really does. It humbles you, especially when you got Avery size 14s on your chest during pass pro. I'm telling you, that guy, you know, like I said, I was a big, strong guy. I thought I could eye on the world. But when you went against him, it was just a different thing. Mm. But I'll tell you what it did, and this is what was really cool about it, and he and I have had this conversation before, is that it made us so much better, you know, going forward, because we started four freshmen, my red shirt freshman year on the offensive line. And of course I came in, it was Avery's senior year, but going against those guys right there, I'm gonna tell you, you didn't go against anybody in that conference at the time. And Southern Conference at that time was really, really good. But you didn't go against anybody in that conference that were better than what our defense had. Rico Mack, I mean, God, he was 6'5 and 265 pounds playing outside linebacker here. Mm. And they asked you to pull down the line and either log him or kick him out, he'd shove your head down your neck, you know? But I'm telling you, man, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, iron sharpens iron, and I don't know if I was iron back then, but I tell you what, it made you a better ball player. And by the time we got a few years under our belt as the four guys that started, you know, by the time we were rolling in 94 and 95, we were kicking butt and taking names then, man. You know, we were rolling off the rock and doing some things that, you know, some offensive line haven't done there. Mm. And it was a cool experience.
Steve, you talked to us about when you had heard about these different players that, you know, are so good for the first time and your first impressions. We need to hear some. We need to hear some Dave Pastuzik stories.
Well, I know. Coach Moore, as Dave said, Dave and I talk about this all the time. He's a guy doing the radio. I love to watch because he'd go to the whistle just a tad past the whistle. He'd just go just a tad past the whistle.
You got to go till the whistle ends, not when it starts. You know?
Right to the end of the whistle. And I always said on the radio, I think Gaster's got tired of hearing it, but I'd say it because I meant it. They wouldn't pay me enough to lie, sugarcoat anything. I said, man, I would love to play behind these guys because John Olson was about 6'1" and a half and weighed about 230 my senior year. He's the biggest lineman we had. And yeah, he's playing left guard. And Dave and those guys, name the starters your senior year, those four redshirt freshmen. Can you name who those were?
Well, we had Dad Gruber was our left.
Gruber.
Our left tackle. He was, you know, about 6'6", about 320. And, you know, matter of fact, when he and I were working out for the league and stuff and going through our things, you remember Walter Jones that played for the Seattle Seahawks, who's now a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Chad, there was a lot of comparisons between him and Chad those years because Chad was so athletic, man. You know, he was a sub-5 guy, 320 pounds, and just could move. He wasn't a real aggressive player, but he got by with so much athletic ability. It was unbelievable. And, I mean, he was an All-American. And then, of course, Sean Clark, our current offensive line coach now, played left guard. You know, Sean's not a little guy. he's a little rounder around the middle now than he was. But, yeah, we all are, I guess. You know, I see him out walking on campus. We'll do some jobs and stuff through the app and things, and I see him out there walking on campus by himself, trying to get those calories off. And I was like, yeah, good luck with that, buddy. And Scott Catlett was our center, who's, you know, probably the run of the team. I mean, it's the run of the squad there, the offensive line. He was probably a 6'1", you know, 285-pound center, which, you know, don't have to be huge to play center. But I tell you what that sucker was. He was quick as a cat and smart. I mean, just he knew the game better than anybody I've ever been around. It still does. And then Kenny Barbie was our right guard, and Kenny was they signed 5 linemen from Concord High School. My freshman year, 3 of them were on scholarship, and I think one of them was walk on. One was like a half guy or something like that. But the Concord Spiders they set them up, and Barbie ended up being the only one that stuck around. And he was a really good, I mean, just a good, solid guy, man. A lot of fun. And we, of course, played beside each other for 3 years there. And then myself. And we had, I mean, it was just a, you know, when you play that long together and when you live, you know, not only did we play together, practice together, stuff, but we lived together and had a lot of cohesion, man. And that's the difference of a great team. And, you know, a good team or a bad team or whatever. And it's just being buddies, being pals and everything, you know. And it was an awesome experience. But I'll tell you one thing. When we got out there on Saturdays, we had a fire-breathing coach by the name of Stacy Searles that would not. I mean, if you didn't give max effort when he said go to the whistle, he meant it. And I think what happened was is he just programmed us. We were peeing vinegar, dude, when you're going out there. You're ready to go. Mm-hmm. He had you so ready to go. And his thing was, I want you guys to be the meanest line in the country. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't take crap from anybody, and you give people crap. And we did, man. It was pretty fun to go watch film on Mondays and watch how you demoralize teams, you know. And the game was played different then. We played in a power eye offense. We were downhill. Everything we did, I mean, it was combo blocks to the next level. You weren't blocking around people. You were going through people. And it was just – it's the way the game was supposed to be played for me.
Mm. So, go ahead. I'm sorry, Big C. Go ahead.
And Coach Searles has had a pretty good track record since he left App, right?
Yeah. He's he left here, went to Cincinnati, went to LSU, went to Georgia, left Georgia, went to Texas, went to Virginia Tech, Now he's down in Miami.
And, not bad.
That's not bad.
I was talking. I had dinner with Bill Malden last night. You know, Coach Bill, that coached Watauga's only state championship team back in 74,
78, 76,
whatever
it was.
78. There you go.
78. Yeah.
And Bill, he went down to the Duke and Miami game this past weekend down in Durham, and he said he talked to Searles a little bit there on the sidelines and stuff, and he said, yeah. He said he was kind of still the same old, you know, just up people. I mean, he'd take a 6'8", 6'9" offensive lineman and make him feel like he's 5'2". That's just how he is. He's tough. What's funny, when they came up here last year, we got together before the game. We got together after the game. But what's funny, during the game, one of my buddies – was sitting right behind the Miami bench down on the front row. And I told him about Coach Searles and stuff and everything. And he said that there was Coach Searles had we used to call them episodes that he would have. And he had an episode there on the sideline where he took one of the dry erase boards and broke it over one of the kids' heads. And and, you know, threw it and flipped the water thing over and all this, that, and the other. And my buddy said, I didn't think you could still coach that way. And I said, well, obviously you can. I mean, you know, it's something else, man.
Yeah,
Tell the story, Dave. Tell the story, Dave, about when you made a mental mistake. What he made y'all do in the meeting room.
Oh, listen. What didn't he make you do is a thing. Listen, I couldn't tell you how many VCRs, because, you know, back then we had VCR tapes. We didn't have all this digital stuff you have now. And those little clickers, Steve knows about those little clickers. Those little clickers had about 6 buttons on them or whatever. I don't know how many of those things bounce off your head. He throws. You know what I mean? Or he'd throw it up against the screen. He ripped. And this, see, we met in the team room back then in Owens. He ripped the dang screen off the thing one time. And then, I remember he, you'd have a 2-hour meeting and he'd make you stand the whole time.
Just in the chair, up. Right?
You had to stand in the chair. Yeah. That's stand in the chair. And you couldn't budge. He wouldn't let off her. You had to sit there. And his thing was, if it was your turn and you had a really crappy practice or a really crappy game or something, he stayed on your butt the entire meeting. He asked you every question. He asked you, I mean, every insult came your way, everything. It was just like, I'm going to tell you what, first year we had him, we hated it, man. We couldn't stand it. Because the two jokers we had before that, you know, they were more player-like type coaches. This guy, he came in as far as paying gig. You know, he came in GA at Auburn and came up here, so he was setting his standard. Boy, his standard was a lot different than what we were used to. But he was just he was a jerk, man. And you know, when we talk about playing to the whistle, we used to have to every play at practice. I'm talking every play in practice, not just a segment or whatever. Every play, we had to sprint. We had to do a 20-yard sprint down the field. If you're on the opposite hash, like if I was a left tackle and you were on the hash, you had to sprint at least to the right side hash every time. I'm talking every play. If you didn't, he would be 2 steps behind you and take his hat or whatever and hit you in the back of the helmet or shove you or whatever to get your butt going. And it just got to where you were programmed, man. And when the games came, you were down field. And it was funny because he was coached that way, you know, Pat Dye and those guys at Auburn. And he said, you always have an opportunity to get downfield and make something happen. And when you started, when he had you programmed, you would be downfield 20 yards somewhere. And guess what? You got an opportunity to pick up a big block or something and free somebody, you know? And it just stuck, man. And all the guys that played for him afterwards and guys that currently play for him, it is the same way now. Exact same way.
Mm.
So it's really cool, though. I wouldn't have had it any other way, but, you know, in the beginning, it was tough, really tough.
I witnessed that Stacey Searles, what'd you call it, an episode?
we used to call them episodes.
Yeah, on the sideline, I was sitting right there too. Well, I mean, I didn't even know it was him. I just knew that there was a coach that was borderline having an aneurysm, and he just he wasn't pleased. So based on that, though, because that's an awesome we love hearing things like that. So how about this? When you think of Coach Searles, and you know, you said he programmed you. Name a time during a game where you knew, like you did something or didn't do something or whatever, that you knew you were going to get it, and you got it on the sideline. Is there anything that comes about this? Let's hear a story or 7.
There was he had you. You know, when you talk about people, how people are motivated. Some people are motivated by fear. Some people are motivated by success or whatever. He had you motivated by fear. It was different because there was times, I kid you not, he was so precise about how he graded us and how our routines had to be. We could take if we're supposed to do an inside release, we're supposed to take a 6-inch step at a 45 with our inside foot, and to cut this guy off backside, you could, if you didn't do that, okay, you may take that guy and drive him 10 yards down the field and dump him, pancake him, or whatever. But if you didn't take that step, you might have had the best-looking block to the untrained eye that you've ever made, that somebody's ever made in their life. But he would grade you on a negative on that play because you did not take that 6-inch step. That's how when you went through the process of practice, made the game so much easier, and you knew right away when you did something wrong. You right there in your head, you're like, heckgummit, gotta see freaking Searles about that on Monday or something. You know what I mean? Right in the middle of the game, you're thinking about that. But it's funny, like your first, like I said, your first year, or so it really bothered you. But once you got to his standards, it all took care of itself. But I'm telling you, man, I'm not kidding. If we started out on the 2-yard line, you could have drove somebody to the other end zone and dumped them in the back up on the hill. And if you didn't have your hands right or something, negative. And that's a sled. You know, that was his thing. He always had to push that freaking sled around Kid Brewer Stadium. But you knew. I mean, I had plenty of blunders in the beginning. But it was one of those things. Right when you did something, you had it. Yeah, I mean, it triggered it. It was unbelievable, man. And it's like, you know, he was training you for, you know, success. But it was just funny how he kind of, the roundabout way he went to do it, man. And never experienced anything like that in my life, you know, up to that point.
Give us go ahead. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
I was going to ask Dave, guys, who was the most physical? Just give me one game, or give us one game in your 4-year career. What was the most physical football game in the trenches? What team was it that you played against?
Gosh, that was I've been 95 against Marshall. No doubt about it. Mm. Yeah, their front seven defense at the time. They could have started for anybody in the country. They had a linebacker, Larry McLeod, who's a middle linebacker, 6'4", 270-pound middle linebacker that can run and hit. And, he played several years in the league, and Billy Lyons was a 3 technique for him. Billy played about 7 or 8 years, Packers and stuff. He was about 6'5", and 290, 300-pound guy. John Duncan, one of their defensive ends. I remember these names vividly because when I went to Marshall, I was on recruiting trips with some of those guys. But that game in particular, '95, was very, 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 very. I mean, that was a tough, tough ball. That was a 10-3 ball game, and it was a slugfest. You know, we couldn't throw the ball. Sat wasn't the most blessed passer in the world. He's a good football player, but it was one of those situations where we knew we had to run the ball, and they were putting 8 and 9 in the box, and you know, something got to give there. But when you got done with that game right there, man, it was, you knew you played a football game. It was unbelievable.
That was in Boone, great. Wasn't that the game in Boone, Dave? Was that the one?
No, that one was at their place.
Is that Marshall? Okay.
94, we beat them here in Boone. We were about 20th. In the country, and they were number one or whatever they were.
I think they were number one, yeah.
But in '95 was our undefeated season. We beat them up there, and it was, you know, we scored with that little keeper sat went off the left side and scored, and we scored with, you know, very minimal time left. And it was just, I mean, it was a knockdown dragout, man. Matter of fact, Clarence Sutton hit one of their receivers so hard in the end zone. And broke up a pass play that knocked the kid's two front teeth out, and you can see it on TV.
Wow.
Kid's teeth come out and bounce on the turf. Oof. And that kid was my high school quarterback.
Wow.
So, you know, Tim Martin. Yeah, it was. I'm telling you, man. And we didn't like each other. I'll tell you a funny thing about Marshall. Steve, you played in the old stadium, you know, when the stands were right beside you or right behind you. And then they built that big, beautiful new place. But there was this old lady there that she sat right on the front row. She's back about maybe 7-8 feet behind you there. She used to take, and this is how intense this rivalry was, and I'm glad to see that we're going to be playing them again some. She used to take, she had a pair of pliers, a bag full of pennies, and a lighter. And she would get those pennies hot as they could be. She'd take those things and try to throw them down the back of your shoulder pads. Listen, people talk about Georgia Southern, going to Georgia Southern down there. Yeah. All they are is a bunch of spoiled-mouthed brats down there. Okay?
Yeah.
Us and carry on. These people in Marshall, they want to kill you.
These people. I love it.
Listen, when we walked up at halftime, or when we walked out, you know, out for pregame, walked back up at halftime, where you go up the side of their stadium where their field house is, the visiting locker rooms, you know, the side of the stadium is a lot like what it'd be when you go up the east side of Kid Brewer's, very high up there. They didn't drop airplane bottle liquor bottles on you. They dropped half gallon. They would throw them down, glass everywhere, and you had to go with your helmet on. They were there for blood. We beat them in 95 there. Again, we're pulling out of our buses. They have a human roadblock out there, a bunch of rabid fans that stop our bus. They surround our buses, and they start shaking the bus and shaking it back and forth and rocking it. They were mad. We were opening up the, you know, they had the emergency windows. We were opening them up and throwing cheeseburgers on them. whatever we got our hands on, we were throwing at them, you know. But see, the police and stuff, they didn't even care. They weren't going to do anything about that. That was the way it was, man.
Okay, so there's a trend. I'm gonna do a BGP experiment for just a second. Steve, when you played your years at App State, I want you to tell me, let's say three teams or programs you hated the most. What were they?
Marshall, Chattanooga, and Wake.
Okay, Dave, what if you could make your three, and don't try to impress Steve, although he's a fancy salesman, what would your three be?
Well, I would definitely go Marshall number one, Wake number two, and see, we were fortunate to play Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
And so I'd put Georgia Southern three, even though Georgia Southern, they kind of broke in the Southern Conference. You know, they weren't there the first couple of years I was there. I think they may come in my sophomore year or something. But it was, they were instantaneous buttholes down there. it just added to it. But yeah, I'd go with those three, man.
Is that a scientific term, instantaneous butthole?
Man, I'm telling you, buddy, it is in South Georgia. You know,
big I'm surprised C. no ferment from anybody.
They didn't have to work themselves into that role. Is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
When you went down there, you know, even though you had no coof with them whatsoever previously, it was instant, man. They wanted to let you know that they were there. Their student section was pretty good, actually.
So, no, but...
Charles, you said... I love that stuff.
Charles said Furman.
Yeah, what's up with Furman? We've had so many guys hate Furman, and you guys didn't even listen. It's just interesting. I was expecting Furman to be in there.
My take on that, I'll let Dave follow up, but my take on that, Furman always played hard, but they weren't dirty. They weren't cheap shot artists, and I wanted to beat them, and they were, you know, that's when Dick Sherrill was coaching back there when I was playing. They were always solid and didn't beat themselves. Yeah. They were hard to beat, but their fans weren't as, of course, they didn't have many fans sometimes with that affirming, but their fans were never as crazy, and just it was hard to hate Furman in my mind.
Okay.
You're right. To me, they were they were not real relevant when we were, you know, when we were playing them. They were, you know, they were just a good solid football team, but there was no reason to, like Steve said, no reason to hate them.
Are they top five? Or are they cracking the top ten? Are they even a top five hated team? Or are they even the top ten? Or are they somewhere in there?
They were for me because we could. They were for me because Sheridan, he would get those guys that you line up against them, and you think, you know, we should win this game, and you know, we'd have a turnover, block kick, or something. And Sheridan would always find a way.
That was so fundamental, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a great football coach. They went to North Carolina State and got him going there for he had some health issues. But that's what got you with them. They're so well, like Dave said, they were fundamentally well coached, and they just had solid players, nothing flashy, even though they had some speed at times at tailback. But they'd always beat you by fundamentals, not turning the ball over in a kicking game, that type of stuff.
So,
like in 95, I don't really remember in particular, but we got way up on them, and it was like maybe 28-0 or something on them. We're playing them down there, you know, whatever, and it's kind of like, yeah, we got this thing licked, and here they come back, you know, and they just never quit. They were, you know, really good about believing that they were going to win, you know.
And now we got the product of a Furman Paladin playing quarterback for us, so that's kind of the full circle. The circle of football life is kind of weird, but and I think, you know, I love hearing stories about Marshall, because obviously Marshall had already gone FBS by the time I, you know, really was paying attention at football, and then now we're, you know, we've scheduled those games with them again, and it's funny because, you know, and I know Dave, I know you follow the program closely still. I know guys that. Oh, here's another big C. No one said Western. That's kind of interesting. No one said Western. Of course, Western's awful.
They never got in the way,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, they're awful. But anyway, so I have friends that, you know, they hate Georgia Southern, they hate Western. One friend of mine who graduated, I think, in 85, when we scheduled the Marshall game, he said, man, I'm so excited for that. I said, yeah, it's going to be fun. He goes, no, you don't understand. He said, you know how much I hate Georgia Southern? I said, yeah, you hate them. I know you've said all kinds of awful things. He said, you know how much I hate Western? I said, yeah, you talk bad about them all the time. He said, you know how much I hate Furman? I said, yeah. He goes, I hate Marshall more than all those put together. And so,
all three combined.
Yeah. So that's just kind of a natural thing. I'd love to be in a conference with them again one day, just because I think that they wouldn't be too hard to make that a game you can't miss, which, you know, it's kind of like
the Wake situation. I mean, you – from a business standpoint, a program, I don't know why you're not playing them every year.
Right.
On both sides of the spectrum. I mean, Wake needs it. I think their first two ball games before they played us, they had like 17,000 and 19,000 at the home opener and another one. You know, App State comes down there, you're going to have 35,000 people in that place. And the same goes, you know, Marshall has a little bit better attendance and stuff up there. But when App State comes to town up there, it'll be knee deep with folks up there, you know.
And especially now, as compared to 20 years ago.
Absolutely. And my take was I never played big time college football, Florida State or anything like that. But when we used to go up there and play them, you know, they had a heavy presence of press, and I mean, when we were in the hotel, we had haters out in the parking lot to greet us when we came in, and jeer and cuss and carry on to us. To me, that was what a rivalry should be. You know what I mean? It was like it was a battle, and then of course on the ball field was. I mean, you said this was a family show. I can't share some things that went on out there on that field. I'm serious, man. I mean, it was interesting, but for the programs going forward, it's a no-brainer, man.
Oh yeah,
it's a no-brainer, and I think some of these younger fans that they'll pick it up quick, because you'll feel that vibe when you go to Huntington. There ain't nothing else to do in Huntington but go watch Marshall football. Trust me. Yeah. You can sit there and watch the trains go up and down the track if you want to. It's a big railroad town, but you know, other than that, I mean, it is what it is. You got the McDonald's in the end zone down, you know, back in the end zone down there, and that's about it, man, you know.
Well,
what are the years on those? Do you know that, Charles?
It's out there. Top of my head, it's like
21.
23 and 20, 21 and 20 maybe. It's a little bit down the road, but
yeah.
I mean, they used to fill up the whole visitor section, you know, before we had the deck. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was green.
Yep.
Yeah.
They traveled well. It was always really, really well fought ball game. I think in 90, let's see, in 93, we played up there, and they absolutely just beat the wheels off us up there. But they were very senior laden. You know, they had Michael Payton as quarterback. I mean, they had some players. And we were just a bunch of kids peeing down our leg up there that game. You know, like I said, we were kids, 93. I mean, that was we started four redshirt freshmen on the offensive line, and you had to go up there and try to compete with that. That was tough, you know.
Yeah,
I was 21-22. Just to clear that up, 21-22, they come here first.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's going to be awesome.
But, and that, you know what's nice about that, man? It's a four-hour trip.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like you're going to go around the world. It's a quick little trip up there, and, you know, it's good.
It's a good drive. It's nice. It's pretty.
Yeah. It's beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Are you saying that you didn't go to San Marcos, Texas for the Texas State game?
No, I didn't make that one. I think the temperature veered me away from that more than anything.
Yeah,
that guy, man. I don't do hot weather real well. You know,
I don't think we did either. Honestly, I don't think we did hot weather.
You know, it's funny. I was watching the post game interview there with Satterfield, and dude, his face looked like a beet. You know what I mean? He looked a little warm. And I said, I don't know if that's from the temperature or how the team played. You know what I mean? Probably a little both.
All right. So, yeah. So true or false, you have texted Sean Clark after a game with some advice.
Yeah, true.
I love it. I love it. Because you know what you're talking about. I mean, you know, you've done it. It's not like you know, like me and Charles, we're just a couple of schmucks in here. You know, you guys like you and Steve can actually.
But you guys watch it. I know Charles, but he's watching a lot of football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, it's one of those things, man. You know, it's cool when you have conversations with Clark. You know, he'll ask, "What do you think, man? You know, what do you think?" And it's kind of cool that he does that. You know.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I think all things being considered, he seems to be doing a really great job, especially after Letcher. I think I don't know. It's you know, the battle to win. I remember in 2010 hearing Steve Brown after the Villanova game, after they absolutely just took us to the cleaners, talking about how, you know, we're really undersized and getting pushed around, and to see where we are now, and you know, say what you want about, you know, us not maybe hitting or being as physical, the size and the length and the overall performance of our lines compared to, you know, 6-7 years ago is
it's night and day.
Yeah,
it's night and day.
Yeah, which is great.
Funny because we kind of went, you know, those national championship years, you know, was kind of in that era right there. We won a lot of football games with kind of when you're talking about offensive line size, we were very, very, very undersized for a lot of years. But the scheme that we played with the zone plays and stuff, we could get by with it. And that's kind of, you know, when Elliot was coaching here and stuff, that's kind of what he sought after with those type of kids. Instead, you know, you had a few kids every now and then. I mean, Kerry Brown was big as a daggone house. I mean, you know, that's like a big, big, strong guy, but you know, a lot of other guys, man, you know, like even John Holt. God, John was tiny, man. I bet he didn't weigh 230 pounds playing guard, you know?
Yeah.
And
Ori Frey was athletic.
Soft, you know? They were really soft.
Yeah, Ori Frey was athletic.
Eisenhower wasn't big either.
Yeah.
No, man, Eisenhower was tiny. I mean, he might have been 6'1 playing right tackle in that league. But, hey, that sucker, he got it done, man. You know, Ori was a small guy. You know, Brett Urban was small. You know, Kilgore was a good size guy, but not overly big. And he's a 6'3" guy, not overly big and stuff. But they had a man. They were smart too. You know, they were really smart, quick, and fast the way they played the game. And you know, it always helps to have 14 and 7 in the backfield too. 28 and those guys. I mean, they make a lot of people look good. You know, I'm not taking anything away from those offensive lines by no means. They were really good, but the compliment that they had with the talent around them, man, that, I'm telling you what, they were pretty freaking good, man.
So we do this. Everybody that comes on, we talk about what's the one game that you would want to relive and not change anything and just experience all that stuff again. And then what's the one game that you wish you could just reset the table and play again and try to win? You've already mentioned the Marshall game and being, you know, this knockout, dragout. So let's take that off the table and give us a game you wish you could go back and relive just from the experiences. And then what's the game you wish you could go back and play to try to change the outcome?
I think the game that I'd like to relive would be was in 95 when we beat Wake out there. It's funny, I was up at the barbershop last week for that game, and I was talking to some of the kids, current kids there now, and they were like, well, what was it like to play against Wake? And I felt really old talking to them about it, but I said, 95, we received the kick that year, and Otis Smith received the kick and fumbled the ball, went down for it, and his knee touched down on the 2-yard line. So the play was dead, and of course, here we're looking at, we got 98 yards in front of us, and it was about nine. I think the high that day, this is right off the top, I think it was like 95 or 96 that day, you know, first week of September or whatever it was. It was so stinking hot in that stadium. I mean, you could just feel the humidity coming up out of that. You know, they got grass in there just coming up out of there, and it was just miserable. We took the opening drive 17 plays and drove it down their throats and scored. And I'll never, ever forget that the rest of my life. The game, to me, from their defensive side of the ball, it was over then. We jumped up on like 28-0. You know? Yeah. And but we drove down, and there were guys, man, it was crazy. There were guys throwing up in the huddle. Our guys, because it was so hot and humid, and we called 2 pass plays. We ran 15 running plays and marched that thing down and punched it in. They had a pretty good defense that year, too. And that, to me, you know, of course, we had to hang on to win because our defense got a little winded, and they put up some points in the second half. I think it was like a, I don't know, 28-24 ball game. I don't remember. But we had to hang on with their lives to win. But I remember our defense knocking their quarterback out. I think they broke his arm or something, and the backup came in and stuff. And it was a heck of a ball game. And for us, you know, to start the year off and then go 12-0 up to the point where we lost in the playoffs, that was what a way to start a year off, go beat the ACC team and one of your rivals, you know. And that was a really, really fun game. But game I'd like to change is the opposite end of the spectrum. That was the game we lost that year. We played Stephen F. Austin here at home. And, of course, we're the number one team in the country. And they were good. But we just, you know, we'd endured a lot of injury. Matt Stevens went out that Chattanooga game. You know, gosh, he was first-round draft pick, and still went a third round after the ACL. And Joe DiBernardo, one of our linebackers, he was out with a back or foot injury or something like that. And Coakley was banged up really bad, and, you know, we still were in a really competitive game with that team. But I actually gave up a sack that game. That was my junior year. I gave up a sack that game there, kind of on like the what you call a winning drive that kind of killed the momentum. And again, as much as you like to remember the great things, that right there still burns a hole in my heart. You know what I mean? To make a mistake like that, it hurts. I mean, it still hurts to this day because, you know, we had a chance to. I thought if we beat them, we would have went on and won it. And they were kind of the really tough team in there that had to beat. So, you know, but those are the experiences that you go through. It's, you know, when I'm raising my son and going through athletics with him now, these are the things that you talk to him about. You can talk about all the good things, but you got to talk about those too, you know. And I'll never forget that game. We made a lot of mistakes, and you know, myself included, man.
We've definitely heard that one too. So let's, you know, we've had a great conversation here. It's been a great stories and everything else, but I have one pressing question for, there's my email. That's great. But I have one pressing question for Steve Brown. Steve, if you owned a landscaping company, what would you name it?
I would be very elite.
You would have
to name it a cut above. And what a cut above means is you're better than everybody. That's, you know what I mean? Not even from a salesman, I'd be elitist, a cut above. It just comes out
of ego, man.
He set me up on that one, Dave. I told him about that. He gave me a perfect fastball right down the middle.
I like it, man. I'm glad you went out to park with it, you know. Don't miss on those. You can't miss on those, Steve.
So, I will tell you this. When I was doing the radio, guys, my only tailgate stop usually was by Dave's. And Dave had great food. Adam Ryan, I say, Adam mixed me one up. He fixed me a little, you know, a little big boy drink before I went on the air. That was always fun times.
That's awesome. So, all right. So, Dave, if anybody wants some blue blood royal treatment on their landscaping or anything in between, what do they need to do? I'm giving you – you're the only person we've ever just given a shameless just plug yourself. But what do they need to do to get in contact with the elite class?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. We enjoy what we do every day. We run a cool company and got a lot of good folks that work for us, and we enjoy the product, the projects that we get involved in every day. It's really fun. But hey, all they gotta do is look us up online, cutabovebooneNC.com, and everything's on there. You know, that they need to know about. You know,
love it. If you want your, no problem. If you want,
listen, that invoice in the mail.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, y'all make sure to leave me your address, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm only about 50-55 miles away, and you can pull a trailer down there. Anyway, Dave, man, we really appreciate
it. We work everywhere if you got a big enough budget.
Well, I don't have that, but anyway, we
you don't have Steve Brown money?
No, who does? Who does have Steve Brown money?
I know, man. Hey, you got a house in the mountains, you know, and lives down there in Asheville. Gosh, I don't see how he does it, man.
You don't even know he's got.
Oh Lord,
he's got Donald Trump on speed dial. You don't even know the half of it. He's got a penthouse in Trump.
There you
town.
Go.
Yeah, you don't even
there
know.
You
don't even
every
know.
Time I see him, he's got a new pair of sunglasses.
You guys are killing me.
That's it.
And not killing me, man. You know, they're usually coasters or natives or something like that. He wears the good stuff, man.
Well, I tell you what, he does.
Old Hollywood.
I tell you what, he never has is a brand new pair of earbuds for his iPhone. But that's another story for another day. And anyway, man, we appreciate you spending time with us, man. It's been great. We love hearing these stories. And I guess as a parting, you know, comment, give us a brief prediction for what you think is going to happen this weekend.
Tell you what, I think we're going to be we're playing a good football team. You know, from what I understand, I was having a conversation with Mark Ivey the other day, our defense line coach, and he said they got some players, they got a running back that can get it done, and he said they're really, you know, really looking at that. Corner that's outstanding out there, and he said they're very, very, very much improved. You know, it's like anything else. I think App State being at home is always there's always an advantage there, no doubt about it. it should be a good crowd and things. I hope everybody will at least stick around in the third quarter. You know how homecoming crowds are here.
Oh, yeah.
But, I'd say it's probably, you know, I'm looking, I'd say you're probably looking at a 24-22 game, you know, something like that. I think our defense is, I think you guys agree, I think our defense is pretty strong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I don't really worry about them, but I still think it might be a little tighter than, you know, what most might think. But that's just getting a little insight. But heck, who knows? It might be 40-0, but, you know, you never know. But I look for us to win a close ball game this weekend.
So I would ask Steve Brown to give a prediction, but I asked him earlier what he thought, and he called 2 Marcus Cox touchdowns and a Doug Middleton interception, and so I decided we're not talk about that. Yeah. So anyway,
that'd be tough right there. That'd be tough.
So Dave, we appreciate it, man. Hope to see you this weekend, and come back and let's do this again.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys for having me, and I appreciate you guys. And let's go out, see if we can go get a W.
Absolutely. Go Apps.
All right.
Big C, I'm really enjoying these stories from the 90s that we've been hearing in the last few weeks.
Oh, it's good to hear because, you know, although Dave may have been a little bit of an unknown to a lot of people because he didn't have that star power, this is just an overall good dude. You get the hiccups over there?
I just think it's funny. You just said he didn't have star power. He sounded like a star to me. He's on Black and Gold Podcast. He's Hollywood pretty much.
Well, look, he was obviously, his injury brought him down a little bit coming out of high school, but that's not a big, I tell you, I can't remember the first time I met Dave. I don't know where I was, but I remember the one time I met him, and I ran into him at a Harris Teeter here in Boone, up on Shadowline, and we both had about the same kind of things in our cart right before a game or something, if you know what I mean. And we sat there and talked, blocking the Harris Teeter, the line to check out for about 30 minutes, and we were just in the way, and people just kept, we were just like, oh, excuse us, and we were just moving our carts back and forth, people passing us left and right, and this might have been before, like, a homecoming game or something like that. And then he invited us out to a cut above, and he says, hey, we always have a good old time out here. And I was like, all right, I'll bring somebody out there and see what's going on. And that's really the first time I'd hung out with him extensively. But Dave's a good dude. Had a good time. And anytime you see him out, he is ready to talk, just like everybody else we've talked to. He's basically the 90s version of Dino Hackett.
There you go.
Physical dude, loves the school, loves the program. Gets up here, and he doesn't have to get up here as much as he wants. Dave is here. You know, he owns a business in Fosco. So
there you go.
He's here, and he's going to be out there, and you can find him in the stadium a lot more than likely. And just ask him about anything, and he's a good listener, and he'll tell you a lot of things.
Yeah,
that are good stuff. So
like he just did. You get more, you get that and more. You go talk to him in the stadium lot. So there you go. And then also, he's the official landscaper of Black and Gold Podcast headquarters on top of Howard's Knob, so we appreciate that very much. So here's the deal. Here's the deal, folks. Again, I'm going to mention this. If you listen to this point, you're a diehard, and we appreciate you very much. We're very excited about our first ever event here that we've mentioned several times already. We really want a big crowd just to share with everybody else literally what we get to experience when we have these sessions, especially in person. It's just a lot of fun. And another thing is, the most important thing, the reason why we're having it is, you know, we believe that this 2017 deserves the recognition and the time to really sit and say, like, hey, you know, what made this season in particular the most important season in app history? You know, it's not necessarily the best team we've ever had. It's not necessarily the best squad of individual players we've ever had. But the things that happened that season have brought us to heights that, goodness gracious, that really, I mean, from being the most successful FBS transition ever to really having the kind of reputation that we've had. I mean, we were on, what was it, last year we were on cable, what, 7-8 times last year? I mean, that's just enormous. And without that 2007 team, in that season, we really don't have it. So really excited for that. Hope everybody can join again. $34.32 is the price of your ticket to go to Boone Golf Club and to join us. Coach Moore will be headlining it, and it's going to be a blast. So if you're listening to this point, we're going to do something special. This is totally spur of the moment. But if you're listening, what we want you to do is tweet us. And I'm making this up as we go. You're going to tweet us or post on Facebook. You're going to post a video, because everybody uses their phones, of yourself saying, "I'll see you at the live BGP show November 9th. Whoever does that first, we'll give them a free ticket to go to the show.
Look at that. That's how you get some people to go.
The first person to record a video themselves saying, "I'll see you at Boone Golf Club for the first ever BGP live event with Coach Moore." How about that? You got to say Coach Moore. You got to say, okay. So let's just get this over, because this is organic. Big C said at the beginning, this is organic. Keywords here. You got a video. This can be on Facebook or Twitter, okay? Either one, but you got to tag us in it. You got to put it on our wall and you make sure everybody else can see it. Video yourself saying, "I'll see you November 9th at the first ever BGP event with Coach Moore." And whoever says that will get a free ticket to attend and mingle with us, rub elbows with the App State legends themselves. And it'll be a ton of fun. But the first person to do that on social media that we see will get a free ticket, courtesy of the Black Gold Podcast. So that's our show, Big C. Gosh, it's been big. Next week, we're going to have Coach Moore on the show to talk more about this event and really kind of get to the heart of what we're trying to do with all of this. And I think that'll get everybody else stirred up a little more. Here's a little tidbit. I talked to him earlier today and said, "Hey, Coach, we want you to talk about this and help people, you know, get motivated to come out there." I said, "Because more people will listen to you than they'll ever listen to us." And I'm like, without even a millisecond after I was done, he said, "Well, yeah, I knew that."
It's typical.
But completely true. So anyway, that's funny stuff. But anyway, this weekend, great weather, homecoming weekend. New Mexico State is not a pushover school that we were used to last year. It's weird. Texas State and New Mexico State have ended up being better, a lot better than they were last year. Hope to see everybody up there. Hope to talk to a lot of you folks. If you can make it, great. If not, the next time you'll hear from us will be Saturday night with the BGP post game, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. So until then, this has been the Black and Gold Podcast. Thanks for downloading an episode brought to you by Z-Box Mattress. So until this weekend, Big C, go Apps.